This program was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local programs, go to our website, freshfm.net, or download the Access Internet Radio app.
Hello and welcome. I'm Galen Pound, and you're listening to Top Writers. My guest today is Holly Dunn. Holly is a book cover designer and illustrator. She has spent several years working in the book trade in New Zealand and the UK. In 2018, Holly launched a range of stationery based on classic books and fairy tales. She also has a YouTube channel where she discusses books and design. Holly's first picture book, Moth, which she also illustrated, is published by Copy Press and was released last year. Welcome to Top Writers, Holly.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Right, what's Moth about?
Well, it's on its surface, it's about a moth and it's a journey through the nighttime in the New Zealand forest. But underneath, it's more about sort of social anxiety and introversion and not quite fitting in. And I didn't want to do that in a heavy-handed way, so I hope it doesn't come across like that. But that's the kind of the metaphor of the moth, and moths being a little more understated than a butterfly, and they're night owls.
Right, so what made you choose a moth rather than, say, a butterfly?
Well, I mean, when we think of butterflies, we think of social butterflies. So moths kind of the opposite of that. But actually, the real reason is the idea came because I got a puppy. And she's very boisterous. And when I'd put her outside at night and put the lights on, moths would flock around and she would just chase after them. So I think moths were just kind of on my brain and it just sort of started turning into a story. I thought, well, what if a moth didn't like the light? What would that look like? And how would their life be different?
They also don't feature a lot in literature because, I mean, the only one I could think of was Virginia Woolf's essay on moths and Stephen King's latest book, the one he wrote with his son whose name escapes me. So it's quite nice that they get a bit of recognition in literature. Now, how much research went into the book?
I mean, it's a work of fiction, so I don't imagine that moths have as complex social lives as I imagine them to. But yeah, I did do a bit of research on moths and obviously looked for some reference pictures. The moth itself I actually had from a logo project that I did quite a few years ago and it didn't work out. And I still really like the design because I spent a lot of time on it and put a lot of care into getting it right. And I thought, well, actually, this would be perfect for this. But I did come across a really incredible story because I was looking at sort of moths in New Zealand because I wanted it to be based in New Zealand. And I found this amazing story about, I think it's called the Buller's moth. And it's this moth that was discovered in, I think, the late 1800s. And it was seen once, and this guy Buller, he took a sample of it. And it was this huge moth, the biggest one that's been seen in New Zealand. And there was an illustration done of it, and it got sent back to Britain on a ship. And the ship sank, so the sample was lost. So all we have left is this illustration, and it's never been seen again. It's kind of this mystery of New Zealand animals. And yeah, wow. I found that fascinating. So that's something I'd quite like to do something with at some point.
That would be really interesting.
Now, I couldn't quite weave it in, but yeah, it was on my mind as I was writing and illustrating this.
Right. Now, the book also includes a lot of New Zealand flora and fauna, such as kowhai and bats and kakapo, weta and kiwi. You deliberately made it New Zealand-based?
Yeah, I think often books, you know, if you're trying to sell books in New Zealand, they tend to do better if they're New Zealand-based. But also, I'm a Kiwi. That's what I know. I know I don't sound like a Kiwi, but I was born here. And you know, I love the diversity of the New Zealand plants and animals. And that was important to me.
Right. Could you please read us Moth?
Yeah, sure. Moths are creatures of shadow and night. Though they fly when it's dark, they flock to the light, dancing together in a frenzied flurry. But moth isn't like the other moths. She wants a friend, but she doesn't like the crowds. Moth prefers starlight to candles, moonlight to street lamps, glowworms to campfires. But glowworms don't speak moth, so Moth dances alone by the moon and the stars. Moth needs to find a different friend, a friend to play and dance with. Kiwi is awake, but she has tiny wings and a big body, not like Moth. Kakapo forgot how to fly many centuries ago, and he makes booming sounds like a dinosaur that frighten Moth away. Weta wears heavy armour, so she can't take flight to dance and play. Bat looks hungry, eyeing up Moth with a toothy grin. Moth shies into the shadows. Maybe this bird will fly with her. Whoosh! Moth hides under a fern and starts to cry. Will she ever find a friend? Flip-flap-flap, flip-flap-flap. This moth isn't like the others. This moth is dancing alone, flying in the shadows, shunning the crowds, the lights and loud noises. This moth is like her. They both take flight, dancing around and around. Away from the campfires and candlelight, they can better see the Southern Cross and the Milky Way.
Thank you. That's so lovely.
It kind of loses a little bit without the pictures, without because you don't get the other half of the story.
But the illustrations are amazing. Right. Now, writing and illustrating picture books might seem easy. Everyone's saying, oh, yeah, I can write a picture book. But it's not.
No.
As you well know. So once you've got this amazing story that's going to be a bestseller, what is the next step?
Well, to be honest, the first step is to, if you're thinking it's going to be a bestseller, probably to temper your expectations a little. just because I found from working with authors that the ones that do the best are generally the ones that are written for a particular person. So for me, I was writing for my past self. And for many people, it's writing for a child or a grandchild. And I think that the temptation is, if you're going to write for commercial success, is that you try to write for everybody. And everybody is a very hard crowd to please. So if you have that one person in mind, and I mean, this applies to all sorts of writing, whether you're writing for websites or you're writing a novel, anything, is having that one person in mind.
Now, you illustrated the book yourself because you're very clever, but most people have to find an illustrator. How do they go about that?
Well, there are a few different ways. I would recommend, if you're local in Nelson, popping into the copy press and seeing what recommendations they have, because they have a good list of illustrators. But looking online is a good place as well. If you're looking, I mean, again, if you're based in Nelson and you want to work with somebody local, that can make a big difference, you know, with back and forth and being able to talk to somebody in person. I think that's a great thing. So looking for maybe doing a Google search or a search on somewhere like Instagram for people in your area, or Facebook who illustrate. Yeah, it depends what you're looking for. But I think the most important thing is looking at their portfolio, because everybody knows somebody who can draw.
It's not the same.
But It's a really tricky thing doing illustrations. And I mean, I'm by no means an expert at illustrating children's books. This is my one project that I've done. And the reason I chose a moth as well is because maintaining a character across a whole book is something I'm not an expert in. And there are many clever people out there who are. And keeping the expressions consistent but different, where you can tell it's the same character, that's a really hard thing to do. So that's, I would say, the main thing to look for, especially if you've got people as your characters or even animals.
Do you also need to have an idea on your head how you want it presented? I mean, I read a lot of picture books, and some are written underneath the picture, some are written within it, some are written in different fonts. How clear in your head do you have to be working with an illustrator about what you actually want?
Yeah, so that depends if you're a writer or you're an illustrator. So it's hard as a writer, if you're not a visual person, to come across this. So what I would recommend is starting with a storyboard. So knowing where you're going to have your page turns, because that can make a big difference in terms of dramatic effect as well, where the pauses are in the story. And you know, some pages might just have one word. I've got that in my book. The whoosh is just one full page spread. So you're having a clear idea of where the illustrations are going to go. And then I would actually recommend, if you're working with a really good illustrator, just leaving it up to them in terms of filling out the, you're not giving them too much direction, because you've probably got an idea in your head of what's quite literal. And a good illustrator will take what you've done, they will add to it and create a different story in the illustrations from the text.
Right. Now, there are some other things to consider, too. The length of the book.
Mm.
What's the standard length of a picture book?
Yeah, the standard length is about 32 pages. And that's what bookshops tend to expect. You've got a little bit of wiggle room with things like end papers, and you've got to have a copyright page in there and other things. But yeah, 32 pages is pretty standard. And if you look at most books in bookshops, you'll find that to be the case.
Right. The type of paper you use.
That will depend on the sort of book. So for me, I chose what's called a Munken Pure, which is a paper that's usually used for novels, but I wanted something with a bit of texture to it. So yeah, I was perhaps a little bit more particular than many people would be on that front. But yeah, it depends if you want a kind of matte effect or if you want a glossy effect. And that will be dictated by the sort of book you have and the tone.
Right. The size of the book.
Yeah. So this is something that I actually, if I did this again, I would have done it differently. And so Moth is quite small and it gets a little bit lost on bookshelves. So if it was a hardback, then it wouldn't be so bad. But hardback printing and binding is very expensive. So in a lot of ways, the bigger you can make it, the better. And the taller you can make it, because then it stands out on bookshelves when it's spine out or in one of those buckets where you can flip through books.
Right. Now, marketing.
Mm.
Could you give us some tips on marketing, please?
Yeah, marketing is probably the hardest thing, I think, because you think you've finished your book when you've written it and got it illustrated. And then kind of at that point, usually authors go through a bit of a sense of fatigue that they've finished the project, but now they've got to get people to buy it. And there are a few different channels you can go through. It helps if you have distribution. So when you take it into a bookshop, you can say, look, this is a book I've done. It's distributed through X. So mine's distributed through the Copy Press, and they're one of the few, if probably the only self-publishing company in New Zealand who do distribution to bookshops. So that's a big plus. There are other avenues you can take with distribution. But then it's actually, yeah, getting it to the people you want to get it to. So lots of different options online. You've got things like Facebook advertising, which I haven't tried for Moth yet, but I'm thinking that might not be a bad idea. If you have an audience online already for writing or something like that, that really helps. So I've sold some copies through that, although most of my online audience is in the States and other places overseas. Yeah, marketing's such a big topic that it's very much on a case-by-case basis. So yeah, it's hard to give sort of too much. Oh, yeah.
What about things like doing library talks and book tours and that sort of thing? Do you think that's effective or just a waste of time and money?
Again, it depends what sort of book you have. I know a lot of authors who have done extremely well doing talks and then selling their books. They're really good at giving just enough information that people are really captivated, but not giving so much away that they don't feel like they need to buy the book. It's hard with a picture book because if you're doing an event, you want to read the whole thing. So it has to be the sort of book where a parent is going to want to read it over and over. Or if you can pack in extra layers of meaning within the story or the illustrations, which I've tried to do in mine, where on a second reading, you might notice different things. That's really valuable. Yes, events are really good. Obviously, events are limiting because you can only do so many within a certain area. I mean, you can go on tour, but that gets very expensive. So you've got to think about the return on investment when it comes to when you're putting money into and time into marketing. But it just depends what your needs are.
Now, what about pricing the book?
Mm. Yeah, so if you're doing it print on demand, like I was with this, pricing is going to be a little bit higher than if you, say, go to China and get a big print run done. However, most authors don't need to do a big print run. They might think they do, but there's always a huge risk in doing that. If you've pre-sold a lot of books, or you're like, what's his name, the guy who does the Dragon books. Do you know those?
I know.
Is it James Russell?
Some name like that.
Yeah.
But they're amazingly successful.
Yeah. So he's gone overseas and got them printed there and has, I think he does all his own distribution as well, which is incredible. But yeah, you've got to know that you've got a commercial success, and it's very hard to know that ahead of time. It's like almost impossible. Yeah.
Right. Now, the song you've chosen today is Elton John's Tiny Dancer. Why?
Might have a little bit to do with the fact that Rocket Man came out and I really enjoyed that. But I've always loved Elton John, and my mom is a big Elton John fan. And this is a song that I came to a little bit later. So I don't think it's as played as often as something like Your Song or a lot of the more
Candle
upbeat
on the Wind
ones. Yeah, all of those. And this one, I don't know, I can just listen to it again and again. And there's something about songs with falsetto in them that I just love. Right. I think because it fits within my vocal range as well, so I can sing along quite happily. So, yeah, anything that misses out that middle range of voice, which I'm not very good at singing in. Yeah.
Right, let's listen to Elton John's Tiny Dancer.
Tickets I've forgotten.
Much, Holly, for talking to us today and sharing your knowledge. Holly's book Moth is available from all good bookshops as well as the copy press. And if you'd like to know more about Holly, you can find her at hollydundesign, all one word, .com. And Holly's Holly, Dunn, Dunn. I'm Galen Pound, and you've been listening to Top Writers. A podcast of this program and upcoming events can be found on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Other great local programs from Fresh FM are available through the Access Internet Radio app or our website, freshfm.net.